Father,
welcome to A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Day. Previously, when Pippa was clearly upset, David took her into his office and offered the advice she needed so badly about her problems with Craig, which led to their first kiss, and they arranged to go to the pictures the next day. Pippa skipped home like a teenager.
It was July, and Pam's letters kept coming. But still, Craig couldn't bring himself to open them, and eventually Pippa stopped bringing them to him, realising he couldn't bear to be reminded of her. He knew any contact between them, even letters, would immediately make him want to see her again. His financial circumstances hadn't changed, and there was no sign of a job on the horizon. After several more attempts at interviews and being turned down each time, he had given up trying, and now he was suffering cabin fever. One morning he forced himself to look more closely in the mirror and saw a big improvement. While the facial skin was a little too shiny, his lower face was almost back to normal, and he decided it might be possible to face the world again, to get rid of feeling trapped. So he decided he needed to get out of the house. But where should he go? It was a warm, sunny afternoon, and something out of doors seemed a good idea. But where? He wandered through to the sitting room, trying to think of an answer. An ordinary little sparrow landed on the tree nearest the house. Suddenly he remembered being taken to the zoo as a youngster and seeing beautiful exotic birds. Perhaps their beauty might cheer him up. So off he went to Calder Park Zoo. At least he'd get some fresh air on such a lovely July day, and the animals won't notice my skin. Unfortunately, his empathy with the caged animals only depressed him more, and he turned away from a restless lion pacing up and down its cage, knowing only too well how it felt. He was heading for the exit when a voice cried, "Craig!" He understood why it was a question. He turned round, and there, to his amazement, was Kevin Buchanan, an old school chum and best friend, with a beautiful girl on his arm. "Kevin, what the hell are you doing here?" Then to the girlfriend, "Pardon my language." "This is an old school chum, Craig Stebbings," Kevin said. "This is Christine, and don't worry about the bad language. Christine's quite used to that from me, aren't you?" "I'm sorry to say yes," stretching out her hand to Craig. "The forces don't seem to have improved any of you." "You can say that again," Craig said, dropping his head over their joined hands. She suddenly noticed the skin on his hand, and her embarrassment was acute. "Oh, I didn't mean that." "It's okay. I'm used to people not knowing what to say when they first see the work of that Messerschmitt." "Oh, you were a pilot?" Kevin noticed the admiration in her voice, and he interrupted quickly. "I got mine in a leg and almost lost it last year on the Atlantic. That's why I've got a bit of a limp. Still, it was good enough to get me out. What they used to call a blighty in the last war." "Of course, you were in the Navy. Were you called up or did you volunteer?" Christine jumped in. "Before you two get reminiscing, I'm dead beat after all that walking round here. Could we go to the cafe? and you two can talk as long as you like once I have a cup of tea and a bun in front of me.
Ooh. Smell it.
And sure enough, the reminiscing got going in a big way, mainly about the school days of these two best friends. Eventually, Christine got bored with them trying to remember names of classmates, until they got on to some of their April Fool's Day pranks on teachers. Craig described a stern old female teacher who was about to punish a boy. But when she opened her desk to fetch the strap, a frog jumped out, and she screamed and ran from the classroom. Christine laughed hysterically, and Craig and Kevin joined in until all three were helpless with laughter. It was the first time Craig had laughed like that since returning to Scotland. He felt totally at ease, and when Kevin asked in a casual way about his obvious injuries, he was able to tell them, as briefly as possible, about his plane crash. That led to the two young men comparing hospitals and treatments. Christine felt it was time to change the subject. "How about if we go out in a foursome sometime?" she asked. Avoiding the question, Craig asked, "What do you do, Christine? You must be a bit worried in case they call up women." "Yes, I am. But I'm a nurse. I think that will be considered a reserved occupation. Today's my day off." Craig wished she'd been anything but a nurse, and he found his mind floating back to Buckland and Pam. He came to when he heard her saying, "Now, how about that foursome? If you're including me, I'm afraid that would have to be a threesome. I don't have a girlfriend." "Well, we can't go dancing in a threesome." "Dancing? Oh, no, not dancing." Turning to Kevin, "I haven't danced since those lessons they gave us in fifth form at school." His chum burst out laughing. "Remember big fat Jessie McFarland?" "I'll never forget her. I was always the one that got landed with her because she was so tall." "Never mind Jessie McFarlane. I've got someone rather gorgeous for you, Craig." "Thanks, Christine, but I've never fancied going on blind dates." "Now, come on. This isn't a blind date. We're not going to leave you alone with her. We'll be with you all the time. If it's any consolation, Kevin's not much of a dancer. You can't be any worse than him." "Oh, thanks very much. You've never complained before. And I was a lot better before copping it on this leg." She gave him a wink with a tiny inclination of her head towards Craig, and he got the message. Turning to his old chum, he said, "Well, there you are. You can't be any worse than me. What do you see?" "I don't know. Oh, what's this girl like?" Christine jumped in at the slight chink in his armour. "She's tall, like you." "She's 6'2". Craig's eyebrows shot up. "No, silly. I mean she's the right height for dancing with you. My nose would be buried in your navel." "She's a real looker too, with hair and figure like Rita Hayworth." "How about burying your nose in someone who is navel?" Kevin quipped. Christine squealed with laughter while Craig turned his eyes up to the ceiling. "Forget about her looks. What kind of person is she?" "Well, she's a nurse like me." "Oh, God, another nurse. That's how I know her. She's a wee bit of a rough diamond, but she has a heart of gold and she's quick-witted. The patients all love her."
"If she's so attractive, why doesn't she have a boyfriend?"
He immediately wondered if that other beautiful nurse, whose letters he refused to open, now had a boyfriend. "She had one, but she's just dumped him. You could catch her on the rebound. She's ready to fall for someone else."
"Sounds dangerous if she's that tall."
Craig pulled a face, acknowledging his weak joke, but amazed at the laughter it produced, without realising he'd made an important breakthrough in his depression. "Oh, go on," Kevin urged. "It'll be fun. We were going to the Locarno tomorrow night anyway, and it'll be much more fun if there's four of us. And it'll give you and me a chance of another get-together." "I'm not dancing with you," Craig exploded with a grin, and the other two again roared with laughter so heartily he felt a great lift in his spirits, and his defences were down. "Okay, I'm in." Mock applause from the other two. Then Christine spoke. "By the way, her name is Daisy." Craig burst into song. "Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do." And the other two funsters joined in, along with some of the other customers, and finally, the cafe owner. As they parted, Christine made the final arrangements. "If we get in before 8 o'clock, two girls get in for the price of one on a Friday night. So let's meet at 7:30. Thank you.